This is Valley Edition. According to a new study of mental health throughout the state, the San Joaquin Valley has the highest rate of mental illness in California, affecting over 1 in 20 adults and 1 in 12 children. At the same time, the Valley has the lowest number of mental health professionals in the state. Here to tell us more about this research is Neil Adams. He is the Deputy Director of the California Institute for Mental Health. And we're also joined by Sandra Shuri of the nonprofit California Healthcare Foundation. CHCF is a supporter of Valley Public Radio, we should add. Sandra, welcome.
Thank you.
Neil, this isn't the first time we've heard stories about the geographic disparities in healthcare and health outcomes in California, but this is very interesting data that's come out of this study. What can you perhaps attribute this to?
Well, I think for a long time there's been an understanding that there's a linkage between poverty and mental illness. In the old days, we understood mental illness differently, and we talked about the downward drift in socioeconomic status that people who had serious mental illnesses would experience. I think we've gotten smarter about that and recognize that, yes, there's an association between poverty and mental illness, but it's probably more in the direction of poverty being a stressor that brings about or precipitates the onset of mental illness and the persistence of mental illness rather than it being a result of mental illness. I mean, I'm sure there's some of both, but I think in terms of trying to understand the data from this study, that's the best approach. I also want to make sure that when we talk about mental illness in this context, we're talking about serious mental illness for adults and what we call SED or serious emotional disturbances for children. And so we're looking beyond the transient or self-limiting problems that people have where they may experience some psychiatric or symptoms, emotional distress related to the stress and strain of everyday life, not to diminish those or their significance, but we're really looking at those mental illnesses that impact people's ability to function in a day-in, day-out basis.
Statewide serious mental illness affects about 4.3% of Californians. In the Valley, those numbers are around 5, 6, 7%, depending on the county that you choose to look at. Sandra, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on why we see these numbers so high in this part of the state.
Some people think people move to more rural areas or go back to family if they're experiencing a mental illness and not being treated. One of the big takeaways from our study is so much mental illness does not get treated. Half of adults and two-thirds of adolescents with mental health needs just don't get treatment.
Speaking of treatment, there's a lot of different approaches to mental health treatment, a lot of different types of mental health treatment. Is there a disparity also in the types of treatment afforded, the types of funding that are applied to different sorts of treatment throughout the state?
Well, the way it works in California is while most of the money is provided by the state government, counties are given the responsibility to set up the delivery system. So each county tries to put together a network of either county-funded clinics or contracts with private providers to provide services for people needing mental health care. Because the way it's set up, each county is doing it on their own, making their own decisions, you do get a little bit of difference. Clearly, some of the counties where there are a lot of mental health professionals living tends to be the coastal areas in our state. Greater access to services, bigger challenges you see in places like the Central Valley or rural Northern California.
Turning back to Neil now, this issue of the shortage of mental health professionals in the Valley, does this, in your opinion, help to fuel a cyclical cycle here that we aren't treating these cases and we also have these other geographic stressors that are also a part of these numbers?
Well, I'm sure there's some correlation. And what we've seen nationally and known for many years is that the problem with the mental health workforce is not just simply a matter of adequacy, or, you know, do we have enough people and are they competent, do they have the right skills, but also how are they distributed geographically. And what you see, particularly as a psychiatrist, I'm familiar with the data on psychiatry, is that psychiatrists tend to gravitate to the coasts and also to larger cities. And I think you see that reflected in the data that's in the Almanac in terms of where do we have more psychiatrists and where we have fewer.
There's been a lot of discussion about the expansion of coverage that is we're about to embark upon with the Affordable Care Act and the provisions that kick in January, enrollment that's going to begin in just months. That's expansion of coverage. Expansion of care is a different issue, or access to care is a different issue. And with the shortages that we have of mental health professionals in this part of the state, is there anything we could be doing better, knowing that we have this shortage of professionals in that area?
We can and should, and if I may say so, must, improve the integration of mental health services into the primary care setting. I personally think that there's a very important and unique role for what I'll call specialty mental health, and that's traditionally what the counties have done. They've provided psychiatric services and psychiatric rehabilitation to people with serious mental illnesses, the folks we talked about before who have functional impairments as a result of a mental illness. But it's made it harder in some ways for folks who have less severe illness to get the treatments that they need. And oftentimes they turn to the primary care setting, but the primary care folks have not necessarily been adequately staffed or prepared or trained to provide as much mental health service as needed and appropriate to provide in that primary care setting. So there are a number of initiatives that are underway around the state, including the Central Valley, that have looked at promoting primary care and mental health integration. And many counties, and I'm aware of a project particularly in Merced County as an example, where there's been a real effort to get staff who've traditionally worked in the county mental health system into the federally qualified health centers and the community health clinics in order to address these issues.
Sandra, before we go, one last question. In addition to the Affordable Care Act, there's another law that's out there that's also making a big impact on how we provide mental health services. Tell us about that.
The parity laws were passed in 2008 at the national level. What they say is if you get insurance from your employer and that insurance covers mental health, then it has to cover mental health the same way it covers physical health. You can't have lesser day limits, a dollar cap on the mental health care coverage. Instead, it has to be what's called at parity. So if there's no dollar limit on hospitalization, then there's no dollar limit on it, whether it be for mental health or for physical health. So that's a huge change that's been being implemented over the last 5 years. We just saw the state issue some very large fines on a health insurer for not complying fully with that law. So you're starting to see that really take hold.
We've been talking about mental illness in the San Joaquin Valley and a new study that came out just days ago that indicates the Valley has the highest rates of mental illness in the state. Our guests today, Sandra Shuri with the nonprofit California Healthcare Foundation and Neil Adams with the California Institute for Mental Health. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.